The Supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the Best of the Names. In the Name of Allah, Lord of Earth and Heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum and welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio. So welcome. During this episode, we want to speak about the value of the Quran in the eyes of the Muslims.
Yeah. كذلك والإكرام سيد الأكوان هو المنان رب عظيم ليس لي رب سوى هو الرحمن.
Today Monday is the 7th of Rabiul Thani 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 3rd of the month of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran. We look at chapter Sa'd, verse 29. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب.
This is a blessed book which we have revealed to you, O Muhammad, that they might reflect upon its verses and that those of understanding would be reminded.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear friend, the Holy Quran is surely blessed. Its recitation, reflection, history, reasoning, story, the samples of sciences, hidden news, similes, bits and forbits, all in all are full of mysteries and secrets. Quran is for contemplation and it is not merely for taking a good omen to its apparent. And contemplation in the Quran is for admonition. Else there may happen that a person perceives the scientific secrets of the Quran, but it causes his pride.
Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah.
في سجدة للجبال في ركعة في صلاة نرجو بها إلها نسعى بها لرضا يا الله.
The value of the Quran in the eyes of the Muslims. Of course, during two last episodes, we spoke about it. Now we continue. Again, we look at the value of the Quran in the eyes of the Muslims. It is known as Al-Kitab, that means the book. Quran is also well known and highly admired that when any Muslim refers to the book, it is understood to mean the Quran. It is the book above all books because it's a complete and final revelation of Allah to mankind. It is the best of speech, the best of guidance, the book of wisdom. And it will remain immutable and protected until the day of judgment. Muslims of the present generation keep it inside beautifully covers and boxes and place it on the highest shelf of their house to signify its high status. Most of us begin the paramount ceremonies of our lives with its recitation. Yet when it is recited, few listen to it carefully, few understand it, and still fewer are those who ponder its meanings and dedicate their life to its study. We would never keep away from the elements that are necessary for nourishing our body. Yet we go for extended periods of time, depriving ourselves from that which nourishes our heart and soul, the Quran. Quran is the best of speech, the best of guidance, the book of wisdom, and it will remain immutable and protected until the day of judgment.
Thank you.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. As Muslims, we are expected to discharge our duties toward the Holy Quran. While other people recited the Holy Quran, or recited recital of the Holy Quran is being played, other people should be silent in order to receive the sweet voice of the Holy Quran, in order to receive the divine grace, and at the same time to be able to receive more instructions from the Holy Quran. Imagine that you attend a very important lecture, a very important meeting, and the speaker is delivering a very important talk. What would you do? Would you talk with your friends, with people who are around you, or would you listen to the speech? Certainly, you are expected to listen to the speech. While the person who is delivering the talk is someone just like you, okay? If not, superior to you, or if not inferior compared with you, or if not inferior than you. However, this person is just a normal person like any other people. Yet, we are expected to be silent in order to give rapt attention to what he says, for example, in his or her speech or talk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the creator of the whole universe, as the creator of the Islamic religion, has provided us with his own instructions for our benefit. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never needs of being attentive to him. Rather, we need being attentive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The teachings of the Quran. Now we look at the eternal quality of the Quran. The perfection and completeness of the Quran prove that its validity is not restricted to a particular time or place, since anything perfect is in need of nothing to complete it. In chapter 86 of the Holy Quran, when we look at verses 13 and 14, God confirms that the Quran is a conclusive word and not a mere pleasantly. It contains the purest of teachings concerning belief in life after death, together with an exposition of the realities of existence, while at the same time encompassing the fundamentals of correct human behavior. Since laws governing transactions between men are directly linked to their beliefs, such a book can obviously not be annulled or changed with the passage of time. As Allah the Almighty says in chapter 17, verse 105, "We have revealed the Quran with truth, and it has descended with the truth," meaning that the revelation and their ongoing validity are inseparable from the truth. In other words, the Quran repulses, by its own perfection and completeness, any attempt to alert it, and neither now nor later can it be annulled or superseded. Many studies have been made of the permanence of the validity of the laws given in the Holy Quran.
Thank you. المغفرة يغفر لي يا
Again, we open the chapter Tips. Tips for improving your relationship with the Holy Quran. Today's tip. One of them is make dua. The other is zoom in. Now listen. Make dua or supplication. Dear friend, ask Allah to guide you when you read the Quran. Your aim is to sincerely for the love of Allah interact with Him by reading, understanding, and applying His blessed words, making dua and supplication to Allah for help and guidance will be your best tool for doing this. Now, what I mean by zoom in. Sometimes you may feel like zooming into a specific segment, verse, or even a word, in order to analyze its roots and appreciate the depth of the meaning of the Arabic and Quranic wording. Inshallah, we continue this discussion.
The Prophet was never schooled. He never wrote or read anything. He grew up an orphan, away from the centers of knowledge. He never went to any university. Suddenly, he starts producing a book that is miraculous in every aspect. Something that no one could produce anything like. And the Quran is inviting us to think. How can a man, after 40 years, who was not known for any of this, suddenly he produces a book like that? This in itself reminds us that the Holy Quran is from a higher source, and it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you examine the depths of the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters, you are truly mesmerized by the power of the words, by the precision, the amazing precision and conciseness of all the words in the Holy Quran. And what's amazing about the Quran and about this book, unlike any other author, unlike any other poet, is that you find that the Quran has the same strength throughout. Take a look at the life of any poet, any writer or author. You see that at some points in their lives, they were experimenting. They started to get better and better and better until they start producing a masterpiece, right? Do you know of an author, throughout their entire years of producing their work, they produced flawless, impeccable work? There's no such author in history. In fact, every poet has certain poetry that they're ashamed and embarrassed of. It was a weak poem. It wasn't my best of days. Except the Holy Quran. From beginning to the end, you find it at the same literary power. At the same concentration, the same depth. It's truly amazing. And remember, the Prophet ﷺ, during those 23 years, he went through a number of conditions. Sometimes he would be at peace, sometimes in the battle, on the battlefield. He was tired, he was hungry, he was full, he was with his companions, he was resting, he was traveling. In all of these states, we find the Quran coming in one power. What does this tell you? When you're tired, you're in the battlefield, does your brain and mind work like if you're sitting, looking at a garden and you're composing poetry or writing a book? Obviously not. When you're in the battlefield, can you even concentrate on your work? But we find that almost one third of the Quran was revealed in battles and battlefields. Isn't that an indication of the miraculous nature of the Holy Quran? Who could do that in history?
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah. Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us begin the day by contemplating on a gem of an advice from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible successor, Imam Hasan Askari, peace be upon him. Know that coyness has a certain extent, and if it is exceeded, it shall turn to weakness. Generosity has a certain extent, and if it is exceeded, it shall be extravagance. Economy has a certain extent, and if it is exceeded, it shall be stinginess. And courage has a certain extent, and if it is exceeded, it shall be recklessness.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In one of our previous episodes, we mentioned the concept of supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times of ease, at times of, you know, prosperity, and to supplicate in the same way we would do at times of difficulty and at times of unease and at times of, you know, tightness, if you like to say. And there should not be any difference between the two. So why is that? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives one example or one possible instance of why this can be the case. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Nabi Dawood or Prophet David alayhi salam that remember me in the good days so that I may answer and assist you in the bad and difficult days. So here we see one possible reason why the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned this, or rather in that previous tradition that was from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, where he says that, you know, supplicate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the good and in the bad. Here the Holy Prophet is saying one of the possible reasons for this is that, okay, look, when we know we have a need and we have something, we go to a certain individual, and after a while we forget about that individual. If you continue to just to go to the individual at times of need, the person might think that, you know, why are you only coming to me at times of need? Do I not exist at times when, you know, your times are good? Do you not come and just greet me? So yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to show us that, you know, I'm always here. I'm not a person only, or na'udhu billah, not a person, but I'm not, you know, a being or just something that, you know, comes and is there just for you when you are in trouble. No, I'm here all the time. And if you remember me, as the verse of Holy Quran goes, I will remember you, and I will give you, and I will assist you. So here, as we've seen in other traditions as well, with the Imams and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other prophets as well have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to ask him.
It is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know what we need. No, this is not the issue. The issue is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that free will to come to Him and to ask Him for whatever we need. And one of those issues is that we should not just come to Him when we have a need. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, one of the supplications that we can do is the supplication of thankfulness. That we give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that He has given us. And by giving thanks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase us. So this is also an important issue to keep in mind. That when we are good, so to speak, that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And supplication is a form of showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, when we are really in need, and we asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that need, Allah said, you gave me thanks previously, you showed your gratitude, I will give you more, and hopefully inshallah you will come back again and show gratitude again. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first, we are going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then, we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. The Quran is a book in which its beauty is confessed by even non-Muslim scholars. In this segment, we are going to listen to some quotes from different scholars about the Noble Quran. Edward Montet, in the introduction of his translation of the Quran into French, wrote, "All those who are acquainted with the Quran in Arabic agree in the praising of the beauty of this religious book. Its grandeur of form is so sublime that no translation into any European language can allow us to appreciate it." Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of Suratul Kawthar as well as Suratul Kafirun, recited by Sheikh Kamel Yusuf Al-Bahtini. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters in faith. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and you just listened to the two surahs of the Quran, Surah Al-Kawthar and Surah Al-Kafirun, by Shaykh Kamil Yusuf Al-Bahtini. And now we want to analyze this recitation and analyze the rules of tajweed in these two surahs. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna a'tainakal kawthar. Okay, the first rule that we have in inna a'tainakal kawthar is the noon, which is mushaddad, and we have to apply a ghunnah for two vowel counts. Inna a'tainakal kawthar. We have to hold the noon, which is mushaddad, for two vowel counts. And then we have maddul munfasil. This is an optional mad. Inna a'tainakal. So what happens is that you have to lengthen it. You have the option to lengthen it to two, four, or five vowel counts. Al kawthar. If you stop, or if you continue, you have to pronounce the ra with tafkhim, because ra has fatha. It is said that ra originally has to be pronounced with tafkhim, but under certain circumstances, it's pronounced with tarqiq. But most of the time, it's pronounced with tafkhim. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Fasalli sa. The sad has tafkhim because it's a letter of isti'la. One haro, again the ra has tafkhim. Inna, the noon has shadda. Inna shani'aka huwal abtar. abatar, the ba is sakin, and you have to apply qalqala. Huwal abatar. The sound of the ba should bounce back, and the mouth should, right whenever it touches the place of articulation of ba, it should come apart. Abatar, not abatar. It should happen quickly. The next surah, Suratul Kafirun. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون. Now see, we have all مد المنفصلز in this surah, beginning with يا أيها الكافرون. Okay, that's the first مد المنفصل. لا أعبد ما تعبدون. Now another important point to mention here is that the عينز in أعبد and ta'budun, they have to be pronounced with the characteristic or attribute of tawassut. Tawassut is a characteristic, asli characteristic, a primary characteristic. That means there are two opposites for this characteristic. One is rakhawa and one is shadda. And actually, tawassut is in between these two opposites. So, okay, so you should not pronounce ayn with rakhawa or shadda. You should not say a'budu ma ta'budun. Neither should you say a'budu ma ta'budun with rakhawa. A'budu ma ta'budun. A'budu, a'bud. Not a'bud. Okay? Wala antum, antum. We have ikhfa ibn sakina, because there's a ta after the nun sakina. So we have to approximate the place of articulation of ta, make a nasal sound, and then lengthen the nasal sound for two vowel counts. وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدُ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ. Again, مَتُ الْمُنْفَصِلُ. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدْ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينُ. صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to this program. Inshallah, in the future programs, we will analyze other recitations from famous reciters from all over the world. Inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Kitabullah.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. In concluding our story on As'ad and his trip to Mecca, a trip in which he saw the light of the Holy Quran and the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Before we end the story, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us that the Holy Quran penetrates our hearts as such. A person who went to Mecca in order to get allies to fight another person, in order for bloodshed, goes and finds something better. And this is something that he himself, in this discussion with the Holy Prophet, admits to. And he says to the Holy Prophet, after he accepts Islam, after the Holy Prophet recites the 151st and 152nd verses of Surah An'am, and he accepts Islam, and then it's also mentioned in the tradition and in the story that his companion who was with him, the Qawan, was also told to accept Islam, and he did so. And they went, and he said to the Holy Prophet that, you know, I came here to find allies to help me fight and to, you know, solve our problems that are occurring in Medina. But I found you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided me to something far better than what I came for. I came for finding partners to fight, but instead I found Islam. I found the light of the Holy Quran. I found that which the Jews had been talking about for centuries. They were waiting for so long
and I found it in you. I found all the signs that they have said I found in you. So he says that, oh Rasulullah, why don't you come to Medina and we will provide you. And this is what actually happened, as we will see, the treaties and so on and so forth that happened after. This was the initial starting point of it, of the Holy Prophet's migration to Medina. So he says that, why don't you come to Medina, and you know, there, you know, you'll have protection and so on and so forth. But the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially denied, and he waited, and eventually the Holy Prophet did go to Medina, as we know in history. But initially, these two individuals, that is As'ad and his companion Zakhwan, asked the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, please send an individual to Medina who will be able to teach us the Holy Quran, and who will be able to guide the people and our people towards you, and will be able to guide them towards the path of Islam and towards your teachings. On hearing this request, the Holy Prophet then sent one of his close companions, a youth by the name of Mus'ab ibn Umair. This is a very, you know, beautiful youth, a story of a person who attached himself to the Holy Quran, as somebody who went and changed the entire society of Medina and prepared it for the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam via his teachings of the Holy Quran. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us that our internal struggles and our internal fights also by means of the Holy Quran, by means of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are also removed from us, and we are guided towards the Sirat al-Mustaqim and the straight path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
Thumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin.
So, brothers and sisters, up to now we have counted a few number of the things we shouldn't ask from the Almighty Allah when it comes to supplicating for ourselves. Prior to that, we have sufficiently discussed the matter of supplicating for the others and, of course, the things we should ask from the Almighty Allah to be granted to us. In the previous program specifically, we talked about seeking refuge from the test, and we concluded that we shouldn't ask the Almighty Allah refuge. We shouldn't seek refuge from the test, but instead we should ask the Almighty Allah's protection to give us protection and refuge against those deceptive trials or mudillatul fitan. Not all of the fitan, not all of the tests. Some of them are put for us, and through them we can achieve higher stations and be closer to the Almighty Allah's mercy. And seeking refuge from the test, sometimes out of our ignorance, is among those things that sometimes are against our own advantage. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. One of the goals of prayer is to strengthen the bond between the members of the Muslim community and to cleanse their hearts of animosity and bitter feelings towards each other. It is possible that these bitter feelings start flaming in the hearts of some brothers and between some believers due to the pressures of this worldly life. And as we mentioned earlier, prayer for a Muslim in his absence is among these factors which lead to the mending of the strained relations and bonds. On the contrary, a negative stance in prayer which consolidates an unconstructive attitude in the relation of a Muslim with his brother is never liked by the Almighty Allah. And this is because Allah the Exalted loves the believers to pray in favor of each other, be it in their presence or absence, and give preference to each other in prayer, and asking their needs from the Almighty Allah must be prioritized based upon the other's needs in the beginning. And in contrast to this, he does not like a believer to wish for the eradication of a blessing from his brother in faith. Similarly, Allah the Exalted does not like a believer to invoke evil upon his fellow believer, even if he has wronged or hurted him. Of course, this is for the case that his brother in faith has not crossed the limits of such a brotherhood by the wrongdoings. If the wrongdoings surpass and outweigh the good ones, of course, in some cases it is possible to ask from the Almighty Allah evil upon this brother.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the merciful God will come towards you.
Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So we were saying, as the Almighty Allah does not like the servants to speak ill of each other before Him, to actually wish for the eradication of a blessing, He does not like a believer to invoke evil upon his own fellow brother. Ar-Rawandi relates a prayer in which Allah, the Almighty, the Majestic, addressed His servant saying, "Whenever you are wronged, you call on me against a servant among my servants because he wronged you. Then know that another servant of mine is praying against you in the similar way because you have wronged him. If you want, I can answer you as I can answer him against you. And if you want, I can delay in responding to both of you till the day of judgment." In this regard, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, when a man is wronged and he begins to pray against the one who has wronged him, then Allah the Almighty the Majestic says, "Here is another one praying against you, as he thinks you have wronged him. If you wish, I can answer you as I can answer the prayer against you. And if you wish, I can delay in responding the two of you till my forgiveness embraces you both." Hisham bin Salim also says, "I heard Abu Abdullah Imam Sadiq alayhi salam saying, a wronged person or madloom may continue to invoke evil upon the one who has wronged him until he himself becomes a wrongdoer or zalim. So in these cases, we better give preference to the others, even in asking good for them. Even if they have wronged us, we can still be so merciful to them. Just a glitter of the mercifulness of the Almighty Allah to us." Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we're going to look at some principles of upbringing children so that the audience gets a detailed description of the matter concerning how to raise their children Islamically. The main source is the book Children in the Quran and Sunnah compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri, and we have in our studio guest speaker Sister Salma Khalfan, who is an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for having me over.
Thank you so much for being here. So, we were discussing one of the questions of yesterday, stating that children are our future leaders. So, how do we train them to do this? How can we train them so that they are more effective members of the society? And you've mentioned some very important points, and you say that they are the youth of tomorrow, so you have to try and, you know, work with them from when they're young, start by encouraging them from a tender age and instilling this sense of, you know, care for the people in our communities, ensuring that, you know, the countries that are suffering, for instance, they're important to us and we should try and do our part. So you are going to tell us more about this.
Yeah. And not forgetting the fact that the first step should be taken to give this education of how a person can have the best joy in going to gatherings and mosques, especially the mosques where prayers are held. So, of course, then it grows with, you know, community spirit, and then it can grow with the voting and all this, you know, choosing a candidate, a proper candidate and everything.
Which right now I feel like it's difficult on who to choose nowadays.
I guess it can be the opposite also, but people are just so slack in their own world that they feel it's not important, doesn't concern us.
Yeah.
You know, they're so secular, unfortunately, especially in countries outside the Islamic government of Iran. People think that, you know, this is doesn't concern me. But they don't know in the long run, a leader is a